WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Monday nights in October, the cable network Turner Classic Movies is presenting a special series, Style in Motion, featuring conversations about fashion and film with such designers as Kate and Andy Spade, Badge Limishka, Michael Kors, and my guest, Isaac Mizrahi. Mizrahi says films like Roberta, The Women, Darling, and Blow Up ruined him for life, that nothing today can compare to the elegance of those pictures, their romance and panache. Here's a scene from the 1935 film Roberta, about a Paris fashion house. In this scene, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers are trying to lure Irene Dunne back to Roberta's salon after she quits. Fred Astaire is showing Dunne some designs he thinks Roberta's should put out.
But this is like the mode two seasons back.
I know, but I like them better then.
But nobody will buy them. Well, you'd be laughed out of Paris if you did a thing like that. The trend is away from such styles.
I'm not interested in the trend.
But you've got to be. You don't understand. You're giving a fashion show next week. Every couturier in Europe is going to be watching. You can't afford to show models like those.
Well, of course you cannot. Stefania is right.
What does it matter as long as they're pretty?
But clothes must be more than pretty. Look, the trouble with that is it fits in the wrong places.
Such a pity. The famous Roberta to go second rate.
Roberta's will never go second rate.
Isaac Mizrahi, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Oh, such a pleasure to be here.
I want to start by talking about the film Roberta. It's a Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie. What I always notice about their films, the clothes look so perfect when they're dancing. You know, all that satin and the high-waisted, wide-legged pants and skirts on Ginger Rogers, they flow so beautifully. And Fred Astaire's tails on his tux always swing just right.
That's just right. Yeah.
Is that why this film is on your list?
Well, yes, of course, that's one of the reasons it's on my list, but it happens to be about a fashion house in Paris. The movie is like, you know, a sort of a tale about an old lady who surprisingly dies and leaves this whole sort of couturier to Irene Dunne, actually. You know, it's just the tale of a couturier in Paris, which is why, you know, for me, when I was approached by Turner to do this little festival of pictures about clothes, I decided that they would actually literally be stories about fashion, do you know? Whereas you could think of, I could have thought of millions of pictures that I really loved the clothes in or that clothes were sort of mentioned in or something. But these are my actual favorite movies about fashion.
So everyone is just covered in yards and yards of fur. I mean, that's the first thing you notice.
Yards and yards of fur and satin and jewels. And, you know, honestly, I have to say the clothes aren't by anyone particularly famous. I don't think they're Adrian. I know they're not Adrian. I know they're not, you know, someone who went on to do, like, fabulous, like, I don't think they're Walter Plunkett or any of those great designers. But they're a little bit, to me, like sort of unrestrained, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, everyone
they're
looks a little over
vulgar.
The top.
They're overstated, I would say.
Well, I wanted to go to this idea of the 30s Art Deco extravagance. I wondered if you wish in some part of you for those days back. I know your clothes had featured fur and a certain kind of extravagance. Right. I mean, it's such a way of reveling in luxury and textures and that kind of forbidden fruit.
I have to say, I don't really look back and wish for any particular thing. But I will say, I look back and I wish that one could be as earnest as that. You know, today you sort of for the past like let's say 20 years or even 30 years, you really can't be all that earnest with beauty.
What does that mean to be earnest with beauty as a designer?
You know, in other words, there always has to be some little bit of irony that throws it off, you know? Like something, you know, today, if you make a dress that's all that beautiful, maybe it has to be slightly wrinkled. Do you know what I mean? It has to be like, it has to look like it's coming from a thrift store, you know?
You're just not trying that hard.
Yeah. Honestly, otherwise, if I gave you the dress, right, and I said, Barbara, you know, wear this, you'd put it on and you wouldn't be able to. You just couldn't walk out the house in something that gorgeous. Do you know what I mean? you'd have to somehow mess it up. Like you'd have to mess up your hair or wear it with sneakers or something. You know, I mean, there has to be some kind of irony today. I mean, you stand in front of the mirror. I know you do, Barbara. Don't lie to me, okay? I know you stand there and you look perfect.
In my fur and my ball-gown and satin.
Seriously, no, you look beautiful and you say, oh, that's a little too beautiful. I have to do something to this, like put a bandana on or something, right?
God forbid.
Well, I think everybody knows what I mean. You know, you can't. It's like in the 1950s, you wore like crinolines and heels and full makeup and crazy hairdos, and it was all so incredibly courtly. You know, it was so put together.
Right, and unapologetic.
And today, if you can do something like that, right, it was unapologetic, just earnest.
Do you look to films for inspiration?
Well, yes. I mean, the answer to that question, of course, is yes. But to sort of really state what goes on, I don't look to films for inspiration. They sort of find me or something. That's what happens.
So what do you look for? Are you looking for that tiny spark of inspiration, like the shape of a sleeve or the drape of a coat or a trouser? Or is it something as ineffable as style with a capital S?
It's both. And in fact, you know, the point is that you don't really look. There was once I was doing a collection and I was having problems with skirts in general, right?
What was the problem?
Oh, the problem was they just weren't looking good. I couldn't figure out what the hell length to make them. You know, it just wasn't working at a certain particular time. And I happened to be watching a series of pictures with Katharine Hepburn, right? And I noticed that mostly she wore trousers and looked great in trousers, right? So what I did was instead of trying to figure out skirts, I did trousers in place of skirts, you know? So I did like ball gowns, but with trousers, you know? Somehow I managed to do that. It sort of pushed the envelope. And that year, it turned out, everybody was having problems with skirts. I wasn't the only one. So it was like a big pants year, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that sounds retarded, but I'm serious. That's what happens.
Did people buy them?
Yeah. You know, people bought them. Yes, they did.
Another film you chose to talk about for the series is The Women. I love this movie. I have to say, though, that the script is so outstanding, it almost overshadows the visuals in my memory.
Oh, yes.
You know, there are all these amazing actresses like Joan Crawford and Norma Shearer and Rosalind Russell and Mary Boland, and they all talk so fast that you have to concentrate really hard on the dialogue, and right. I have hardly any brain cells left to notice what they're wearing.
Or you know what, like me, you see it, you know, 50 times and you memorize the dialogue, and then, you know, it's easy to just take a little nap through part of it and just look at the clothes.
What are your favorite dresses or outfits from this film?
Oh, there are so many, I have to say. You know, the period is probably my favorite all-time period for fashion, which is the late 1930s, 1938 and 1939, because it has all of the glamour and the polish of the 1930s, and it's getting even more structured, you know? Like, there's a shoulder that's starting to become a bit more prominent, like a Lego mutton sleeve. Do you know what that is? Sort of like a little puffy sleeve, right? Hats were so, like, sort of incredibly silly and prevalent and architectural. They were starting to become really aggressive by the middle of the 40s, but here they're just beginning to sprout, you know. Let's see, some of my favorite dresses in this picture, Norma Shearer has this amazing sort of black dress that is this big ball gown thing, and it looks almost like a Singer Sargent painting of Madame X or something, you know. It's very bare on top, but it's very, very sort of classical, and, you know, it's the high road of bare, you know. It's just her shoulders are bare and the rest of her is very covered. And it has a beautiful little hat that goes with it. Now, okay, I don't know about you, but the idea of an evening dress with an evening hat just makes me swoon. where was I? you know, there's a fantastic sort of a sequin dress that Joan Crawford has at the end. Just sensational dress, and this big sort of chinchilla cape that she puts on top of it. That's just the ultimate luxury.
Are there any things that you notice watching these films that are on their way back? I'm thinking of gloves.
Well, actually, now that you mention it, gloves are coming back, aren't they? That's so true. Gloves, and I think hats in a certain way.
Yeah, although I have a theory about hats that you...
What is it?
That women don't go to the hairdresser the way they did in the 50s or the 40s, and
That's
so
right.
You can't be walking around in a hat and having hat hair.
No, you're absolutely right about that, about, like, you know, what is the hats, what are the hats in the women if not for the coifs under the hats? But in a lot of instances, you are covering your hair.
So it does fit in the 21st century.
That's right. That's right.
Are there any other things that caught your eye that you think are making a comeback?
Well, you know, what's come back is everything. You know, you can't really say what isn't anymore. You know, it's just like every period, it's become such a pastiche of the 1930s and the 1960s and the 1970s. It's really like there isn't anything that isn't right anymore. It's what's wrong is the way you put it together, you know. The degree of irony, the degree of sort of, you know, of humor that you use when you put these things together, that's what changes. That's what looks wrong or right, do you know? It's true. And every woman knows what the hell I'm talking about, I think, you know. It isn't what you're wearing, it's how you're wearing it now.
It's been a lot of fun talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun being here. Thank you.
Fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi. He's one of six designers featured on a special series, Style in Motion, airing Monday nights in October on Turner Classic Movies.